We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 48 months into 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Engen alongside Bruce Adams and Marty Foster. It is a pleasure to see both of you on this very special day. How are we today? Bruce, we'll start with you.
I'm healthy and alive. Doing well.
Great to see that. Great to hear it. Marty, how are you? It's a strange day for you. You've had a medical procedure done, but you've made it this evening.
I have. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't a serious medical procedure, but I have had drops in my eyes so that my pupils went like saucers. And yeah, I'm fine. Thank you very much for asking. And I'm glad Bruce is fine, and I hope you are too, Johnny.
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much. This is not going to be too much about tech, maybe. I mean, this is usually our Tech Tuesday day, but seeing as how we've got two of you on here today, and Marty, I think you wanted to chew the fat a little bit, and you wanted to discuss something with the two of us that we talked about last week. So what better way to do it?
I just realized, yes, I'm intruding on Tech Tuesday. I do apologize. Now, you were talking about Haiti maybe three podcasts ago or two podcasts ago.
I think it was last week we were talking about it a little bit. I mean, it's kind of spiraled even further out of control in the last week or so.
Now, I obviously been in the UK, and we've got our problem with the English Channel and these unwanted illegal aliens coming across from all parts of the Levant, North Africa, Sub-Saharan Africa, and various, you know, Eastern European countries, and just entering the country illegally. And with the criminal coup in Haiti, Florida can expect the same kind of small boat invasion, a flotilla. And we know that the people coming across the channel are already in a safe country. They're not under threat. They're in France. We're paying France for them to handle these migrants, and they're not doing it terribly well. However, when you look at Haiti, the people coming across are going to be the ones that are trying to escape from these criminal gangs who escaped en masse and led the coup and placed their new criminal leader. So, you know, the way you guys were talking the other day, I just thought that, you know, it's not quite the same as the southern border. It's not quite the same as the British Channel. It is a little bit different. And I just wanted to say that, really.
Well, we were going over some congressional testimony last week as to what should be done, what needs to be done to stop these flotillas from coming across, entering the state of Florida. I believe it was Matt Gaetz, Bruce, that was up there on the Senate panel.
Yeah, it was.
Was concerned. He's a representative, obviously, of Florida. But this is what is being talked about on Steve Bannon's podcast about the U.S. Coast Guard. No surprise out of this, because I think, Bruce, you called it. You said, no, the administration will just rescind it if there's any kind of executive order. And it looks like that's what they're going to do. Listen to this.
A source in U.S. Customs and Border Protection, very well placed, who is telling me that the orders are to have the Coast Guard follow the boats to Florida and let them land. We'll see if they if that holds. But there are
Hold it. Hang on. Slow down. Repeat that. You're saying a well-placed source is confirming your worst fear, which is the Coast Guard will basically be a convoy service and allow them to set foot in the United States, in which we have the whole madness of the paroles and all that. Is that what you're hearing from senior sources?
Yeah. BP frontline guys are being told that that's what's going to happen.
So CBP, Customs and Border Patrol, Customs and Border Protection, are already being given the orders from that well-placed source that he's talking about. Todd Bensman is saying that, yeah, they're just going to follow them in. They're just going to be a convoy service and just escort them straight in.
But when they get there, the processing of those individuals should be very thorough. Yes, there are going to be people who are genuine refugees amongst them, and they will need help. They are not in a safe place. At the moment, they're making that journey because their country's regime has changed, and it's changed for the worse. And so they should be, if not welcomed, at least allowed in and then properly processed, properly vetted. And any of them that are criminals need to be sent back. But there will be families. It won't be just fighting age males like we're getting across the channel, and to a larger to a certain degree the same on your southern border, and well, actually it's a much larger number, obviously, where women and kids are coming across. All we're getting coming across the channel are fighting age males, but what you're going to have coming from Haiti are people who are genuinely refugees, and they deserve to be treated with respect, if not open arms, because let's face it, we're all a bit sick of being flooded with people from war zones that aren't even war zones. But Haiti certainly is set to become that because of the new regime that has taken power.
I mean, the U.S. does have a process in place for asylum seekers. And in this case, they would qualify for seeking asylum. But the Coast Guard just allowing them straight in, that's not the process to... So in the past, they've said we want to curb that from happening and get them across safely, because a lot of times the flotillas don't even make it across. They sink and drown at sea.
And that's Cuba in part the 90s.
That's part of the reason that we want to go through the process of the asylum. The problem is, how do you properly vet them?
Well, the thing is, here in the UK, what the people coming across the channel have been doing is ditching all identification papers. They haven't got any. So the people that you've got coming ashore in Florida in the near future, or probably already, need to keep their paperwork. They need to present their passports or some form of identification so that they can be properly vetted. And if they haven't got it, they're back on a boat and away you go. But, you know, even if you don't get on with your next door neighbor, if their house is on fire, you want to be spraying water on from your garden to stop the fire from coming over. I totally get that.
At least until we have the water rationing scheme put in with the water.
Yeah. But as hard-faced as I can be about these criminals coming across the channel, and I know it's not affecting my country, it's affecting yours, I do feel that the people of Haiti, the ones that want to escape from a regime that is basically based in criminality, you're showing me a Viking ship sliding down a hill now. And
well, that's a flotilla coming across. I mean, you know, I'd be more willing to deal with one of those.
That looks like such fun.
It does.
For the benefit of the listener, a Viking longship, a dragon boat, is sliding down a hill onto a small lake, and then Viking warriors are leaping from the prow and running all the way up and jumping to land, rolling breakfalls, carrying shields, axes, and swords. Such fun. I wish I could still do it.
It's a Viking theme park, by the way.
Yeah. I go to one of those every few months anyway.
I think you host one, don't you?
The live action role play. Well, I used to run the events, but now I just go along and play. It's mainly about a good fire, good mead, and peace and quiet, really. The odd scuffle and fight, but, you know, that's only to be expected when you're dressed as a Viking.
That's true. So, that is true. Should we talk about the new study that's out today, since you bring that up? It shows that woke people are more likely to be sad, depressed, anxious, and violent.
And so they should be. Well, no, not violent. They can just sit there and be miserable. Yeah, that, you know, if they're woke in the pejorative sense of the word, then they deserve to be miserable because they're dickheads.
I suppose so, yeah. Shall we talk about the Russian elections?
Yeah. Have you already?
Because we've discussed some of it. Yeah, we know it was a sham anyway, but yeah, we'll talk about it just for the fun of it.
But 88%, that's quite a majority for Vladimir.
Yeah, and they say that 99.7% of the Russian population turned out to vote.
Wow.
Yeah, so which is interesting because the video that we saw of all the polling stations, there were the poll workers and a couple of people.
Well, yeah, there was a balaclavaed, heavily armed guard going inside the polling booths looking over people's shoulders. So no wonder. I mean, it must have only been the ones where a stormtrooper didn't look in. Here we go again. He's showing the video again. It must have been the ones that he missed, or that the armed guards missed checking into each booth, the 12% who voted against him of that 97% turnout.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then there were some of these where you had the occasional... Whoops.
What
yeah.
the hell?
It's a Molotov cocktail. Clearly, can't you see what that is? It was an enemy of the state. It was an enemy of the state, Marty.
He's just thrown it out of the booth. Wow.
That wasn't the only incident. That took place all over. We went through at least a dozen more just like that.
Our election days are not quite so eventful as that. They may become that way if we get more of the same, with the Tories and the Labour Party being effectively the same thing. Anyway, I'm only here to sort of go along for the ride. So I'm going to shut up now, and you can talk about whatever you like. I'll chip in wherever I feel pertinent.
Well, no, it's okay. I was telling Bruce before you came in. I was listening to a podcast this morning, and I was intrigued by it because of the title of the podcast, and it was called Active Measures as it relates to Poland. And I thought, well, that's interesting because the term active measures, I mean, that kind of goes along with, you know, I'm deep into like Soviet deception practices right now and the inner workings of their intelligence services. And that's a term that was actually, we actually don't have a translation for what that term technically means in Western literature, in our doctrines. We don't have it. It's kind of like their word Maskarovka. We don't have an actual translation in any of our manuals or doctrines or anything that actually explains what that is. And the bigger question is why. But active measures is a process where they change your perception of reality in real time, and they get you to carry their message for them. You know, they get you to change the agendas inside of your countries that actually favor the Russian agenda as opposed to yours. And they'll use that, you know, it's as a workaround to try and subvert your country. And I thought this was rather interesting that was the term that was being used, because we actually, if it had not been a mistake that it was accidentally left on a document, a UN document in the 1970s from a KGB operative to another UN ambassador, a Soviet ambassador, we never would have known about the term. You know, we would not have discovered it otherwise, but it was a mistake. Or maybe it was just, you know, a legit mistake, or, you know, accidentally done on purpose kind of thing. I was curious about that. And I was listening to this this Polish politician and Polish journalist talk about a politician. He was talking about the Polish president of 2008. Well, what was interesting about 2008 was, and we were talking about South Ossetia this morning. I think I might have briefly mentioned it to you this morning when I was on the phone with you, but I brought it up again this evening. And they've now asked for Russian protection. You know, it's another one of those breakaways, you know, like Transnistria and Luhansk and Donetsk, you know, out of Ukraine kind of thing, where they just claim that that's a region that wants protection and they'll send in troops to deal with it and then, you know, do whatever it is they need to do. But Georgia was actually one of the old Soviet Socialist Republic states, and as well as Ukraine. But Georgia is this area in South Ossetia that's just east of Tbilisi, is right on the border with Azerbaijan. And wouldn't you know it, we have delegations in there ready to work with the Azerbaijanis now. And just so happens that there's this breakaway group down there that just wants to, you know, join Russia all of a sudden. Back to the original point, the reason I bring up this is because in 2008, the president of Poland was a man named Lech Kaczynski was his name. And he went to Tbilisi in 2008 because Russia went in there in 2007 when they weren't playing ball. And they sent their people in there. They sent the Russian military in there. But the Polish president went there to Tbilisi and spoke in 2008, so a year later, and spoke to a separatist group there and said, this is what Putin and the people that are behind him and everybody that are running Russia want to do. So today it's Georgia. Tomorrow, it's Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, and then it's my country, is what he said in 2008. 2 years go by. He's on his way to a diplomatic mission with his wife and 93 other members of the cabinet and high-ranking military officials on their way to Russia for an official state visit. Lo and behold, on approach to the Smolensk Air Force Base, what happens? The plane crashes. Hold on. It gets better. Here's the icing on the cake. Okay. I'm telling the story for a reason. Here's the icing on the cake. Now, he said this in 08. Okay. At the time in 08, Vladimir Putin was not the president of Russia. It was Dmitry Medvedev. Vladimir Putin was the prime minister of Russia. And he said to the group in Georgia, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen with the Baltic countries. And then it's going to happen to my country. 2 years go by. He's on final approach with all the members of his cabinet, high-ranking military officials, and his wife. Plane goes down, 93 people on it, kills all on board. The Russian president, Medvedev, orders an official investigation into the crashing of the plane. And lo and behold, who does he appoint to head up the investigation of that plane crash? Vladimir Putin. You couldn't make it up. And where are we today?
There's a self-licking lollipop if ever I heard of one. But before I shut up on this one, when you say we, I'm assuming you mean the United States, or do you mean NATO at all?
There's a U.S. delegation, I don't think it's NATO. No, I think it's a U.S. delegation.
Right. So don't you think
that I think we have you guys with us, if I'm not mistaken, diplomatic.
I'm going to extract myself from the royal we in this case, because if we weren't messing about and trying to garner deals and allies and broker some kind of probably mutual defense strategy with Azerbaijan, do you think there would be the active measure of getting a group of ethnic Russians to claim they needed Russian protection? It's just the furtherment of the Cold War. It's, you know, all these little satellite countries, the former Soviet Union countries, they should be supported to stand alone, but that's what they need to do, stand alone. Don't go over there and prod the bear all the time. Because if we didn't give Russia the excuse that, there's no plausible deniability, they have got a trade delegation in Azerbaijan, which is in the, it borders Russia. And it's in kind of that no man's land that everyone needs to leave alone and let them decide whose side they want to be on.
Here's the other question. Given the fact of subversion and reverse infiltration that we have, who's to say that those delegations aren't made to do that in the first place?
Oh, well, yeah, there is always that. So as soon as I hear about a trade delegation to Azerbaijan, Kyrgyzstan, any of the other stands, ears, then I immediately think, why? What have they got that we could possibly want? What have we got that they want? Because if it's something that they want to buy from us, that's great. Let's go for it. But you don't need to put them into bed with NATO and the West. They can just buy our shit if they want it.
That's actually a good point. All of those countries you just mentioned, all of the stands, whatever, any of those. All right. So one in particular, Kazakhstan. Okay. So that particular country, that is where a lot of the Russian, I don't know if you want to call them oligarchs, elites or whatever, because of the sanctions, they haven't been able to buy, like, for example, high-end German cars or Rolls Royces or Aston Martins or anything like that. Or Land Rovers, Range Rovers, or whatever. So they've been buying them through Kazakhstan. And then the EU, the UK, and the US, we've been shipping them there. And then they've been going down there and picking them up. So there's that.
Okay, that's fine. But it doesn't require any kind of alliance, does it? It's just a case of, we're just going to sell you some cars. Yeah, no problem at all.
It's just one example is all I'm saying.
No, but it's a good example. It's you have to ask that question. What have they got that we want in terms of maybe natural resources?
Right. Do you have any other topics that you would like to chew the fat on? Russian elections, trade deficits, whatever. I mean,
talk about tech stuff.
Tech stuff. Well, what do we have in tech news? Well, yeah, we were going to. Do we have anything good in tech news, Bruce? Have you been cruising anything?
I kind of skimmed a little bit of it. There's still a bunch of...
I got a good one. Hold on. I got a good one. Since he's on here, since Marty, since you're on here, you get really pissed off every time we talk about space travel, don't you? You really get upset about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Well, yeah, of course you get upset. Well, we had a Starship launch this week. Would you like to see it?
Starship, yes.
Yeah.
Elon Musk. Yeah. Big Starship.
Yeah. Yeah. We had this week. Yeah, this is a big thing. I don't know if you're interested in this thing or not.
It's very phallic, very sharp, pointy fins at the front. Is part of it recoverable? The payload will, once it's up in orbit and the rocket is recyclable, is it?
Yes, all of it's recyclable, all of it's reusable, and it's using methane. I think, is it liquid methane?
Yeah, it's methane is the fuel. Yeah, liquid methane.
Yeah.
With liquid oxygen as well.
But the purpose of the launch was to do a travel. It was just to put hardware into orbit. Guys, because my connection is so bad tonight and I don't want to slow you two down, discretion being the better part of valor, I've said my little piece about Haiti. So I'm gonna park company and I'll see you later in the week, mate.
Very good. I'll see you in a couple of days. I believe Vince will be joining us this week.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Good night, Bruce. And I'll speak to you again soon, buddy.
Yeah, take care.
Adios.
Right, there he goes. So, yeah, it was a terrible connection with him this evening, so it's unfortunate he has to go. But you and I can talk some tech for a few minutes. But space launch, any thoughts on that?
Personally, I'm excited about continuing that advancements in tech. I think we should be traveling in space. Obviously, if you've been listening, I'm all for us colonizing other planets. It was not Titan. There was one of the moons of Jupiter. I think it was, I forget which one it was now. I just read an article talking about that. Scientists just discovered that this moon is creating enough oxygen to supply, I think it was like a hundred million humans. It's creating like 1,000 tons of oxygen every 24 hours or something like that. Not a whole lot in the grand scheme of things, but it's enough that it could supply 100 million people. But so the like problem is
you need a dome up there for that. Like that's not
you wouldn't. Yeah,
there's nothing that's habitable.
That's part of the problem. If you go to like if you're colonizing a moon around Jupiter, you're going to have to be like 6 meters below the surface to survive because Jupiter is emitting so much radiation. Anyway, all that to say, was this a Starlink satellite launch or was it just supplies to the station?
It was we had both, I think.
Both.
We had a Starlink satellite launch and we had a resupply. I was actually watching a feed the other day. I can't remember what it was for. They had a SpaceX and a NASA feed up, and I can't remember what it was for. It was for something, but they said that they were getting ready to do a resupply to the ISS.
Yeah, I know with
at a later time,
Starlink,
not at the same time, but yes. And there's also a $2 billion agreement or something at the moment going on with Musk. They're looking to put a separate Starlink system up there just for reconnaissance. I don't know if you heard about that.
I did not hear about that. I know. Geez, the Starlink that originally the authorization or whatever for the government, it's so stupid that the government still has control of authorizing who can go to space and how much tech you can put in space. But anyway,
they authorized up there.
We
used to put cowboys up there, you know, real, real pioneers. And now we got, you know, three, four PhD people everything. And, you know, scientists and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. They were authorized, I think, like 14,000 or so satellites for Starlink originally. But if they have a new plan for a surveillance one, that one I'm actually surprised with because it seems like that goes against Musk's middle of the road kind of libertarian-esque ideology that he claims to have. That one seems a bit problematic.
If we don't have the government doing it, though, I mean, the whole point of the government actually running a reconnaissance network or a program like that is so you have some kind of oversight, you know, congressional oversight. That's the whole point. I know we're laughing about that now, but, you know, that's the whole point is if it's not being used properly, then you make sure you hold your elected representatives responsible to make sure that that gets seen through, that gets fixed. But do we now pass that off onto a private company?
Yes. And here's the reason. I'm not saying that that should happen. What I'm saying is the government's going to willfully pass it off to a private company because private companies are not bound to the Constitution. So they can go in and violate your constitutional rights, your privacy, and skim off all that data and information, all those personal info. And then the government can say, hey, we want that. And most of the time, governments are companies just bow to the government and hand it to them without warrant, without any, the government just asks for it and they hand it over. So I'm hoping that if they're going to do this surveillance system, I'm hoping that he has some testicular fortitude and says no to the government unless there's a warrant. But let's be honest, if they're collaborating, then the government's going to have access to it. What exactly is this surveillance system supposed to be for? I'd be okay with something like, it's like measuring the Earth's crust or like, distances or temperature or, you know, volcanic stuff, which there was a volcano that erupted in Iceland here recently that shut down a road. I think they actually went into a state of emergency over it.
It is called Starshield, if you want to look it up.
Starshield.
Starshield is. According to Reuters, if Starshield is successful, it would significantly advance the ability of the U.S. government and military to quickly spot potential targets almost anywhere on the globe. It says the contract signals a strengthening relationship between Musk and national security agencies, despite radical progressives in the White House who have weaponized blah, blah, blah. Reuters said it was unable to determine when the new network of satellites would come online and could not establish what other companies are part of the program with their own contracts. SpaceX describes Starshield as, quote, for government use only. While Starlink is designed for consumer and commercial use, it explains that Starshield is a secure satellite network for government entities and that supports national security efforts. Starshield will be owned by the U.S. government and controlled by the DoD Space Force.
Okay. Apparently, some of the stuff that they're saying, it'll have Earth observation is one of the things, communications and hosting, the most demanding customer payload missions. That's a quote. And the third is they're basically saying there's a wide range of instruments and missions that can be done as well.
Okay. All right. I can understand this from a national security standpoint, because if we have such a network up there, then that means the other network, the other one we were talking about, if you remember, that we gave access to some people that we shouldn't have given access to. If this will give them a new network, then the hell with the old one, right? Because the old one, I mean, let's look at it in terms of this. The old one that's up there now that the DoD is using, that was put up by Motorola in the 1990s. And we're almost positive that network is now compromised by Russia and China. There's no point in using that network any longer. If this can be a viable solution to that, to lock the others out, then I say go for it.
Yeah, it says the satellites can track targets on the ground and share that data with U.S. intelligence and military officials. Let's see, it's a $1.8 billion classified contract. Contract was actually signed in 2021. So some of these satellites that they're putting up could easily be some of the for this contract.
Mm. Well, I'm interested. You know, let's see where they go with it. I say, you know, given the fact that our security systems are compromised, our satellite security systems are compromised anyway that we believe, then go for it. That's where I stand on it.
Yeah, I'm curious on this one. It's going to be low Earth orbit satellites, just like the Starlink system is. They're going to use the same broadband bandwidth or frequency.
I think it'd be faster. I think it'd be faster, much faster.
It'll be much faster. It'll be much more accurate. If they set up a similar grid pattern, like what they're doing with Starlink, even if it's not as dense, I imagine they'll probably have a satellite in view of any nation at all times. So I'm curious what the aim of this is. Because, you know, like we've talked about before, the whole digital dark age stuff, the social credit system, this could be used on civilians as well. That's my concern.
Yes. No, you're not wrong on that. No, I do agree with you. You have anything else today?
Was there anything else? I did see, this is going into video game territory. I did see there was an esports event that was hacked. And apparently it was an outsider that hacked into the game and installed software onto some of the contenders' systems. They're not sure if it was through the game itself, which was Apex Legends, or if it was through the anti-cheat system, Easy Anti-Cheat. If it was Easy Anti-Cheat, the community out there is saying you probably should avoid Easy Anti-Cheat games for now. If you have one of those games and you're concerned that you might have been compromised, it's recommended that if you have any other like Discord or any games using Easy Anti-Cheat, it's best to probably uninstall those. And if you're really paranoid about it, just do an entire OS reinstall, because they're not sure. It's a big deal. They got access to the people's system and were able to install, I'm not sure the depth, if it was kernel level, but they were able to install things like aimbots and activate them while, I think it was actually even on stream, while they were playing. So, a bit concerning. If you're a video gamer or you have a video gamer in the family, it'd be good to share that information. Just be cautious.
That is good advice, my friend. I will see you later in the week. It's been an absolute pleasure. We will go ahead and call this one done. Thank you for being here today. Thank you to all of the listeners. God bless everyone and have a great evening.